This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon sunshine in the Umpqua Valley, 68 degrees. That is near 70, and it's going to look like this through Friday.
That all?
Yeah, because we're going to have a little bit of rain over the weekend.
Well, good.
Not like last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Nothing like that. But we will have some, it looks like. But the next 3 days, enjoy. And we have the potential, of course, to, not today, but Thursday and Friday, to set record high temperatures for the date. Oh, and by the way, actually, we have already, this is the right now. Warmest day of the year so far.
Well, it should be.
Well, I know. That may not be saying a lot because we eclipsed the previous one from 62 degrees a few days ago. But warmest day of the year so far.
So, welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. It's about your landscape, your lawn, your garden, you know, any kind of question you might have, I will give you an answer to it. And you can call 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air. You ask your question, and we'll go from there. But Kyle's leaving the room, so I don't know if I'll even get to talk to anybody for the next minute and a half. But anyway, Kyle does that. He gets me set up, and then he leaves, but I don't know how to run all these buttons up here, but maybe one of these days I'll give up and learn. But anyway, it is a beautiful spring day out there. It is gorgeous. After all the rain we've had, and those rivers are still boiling, boy, my little creek in front of my house is just, it looks not like the South Umpqua, but sure is going. So, and we've had sufficient rain, I think, this year, in the rainy season to make up for the droughty times we've had in the last couple of years where we didn't even hit the average. So be thankful for that because we need that. And the snowpack in the mountains is still good. And probably we'll have another storm or two prior to real spring actually hitting there. But anyway, if you have any questions, 673-4464. And we'll get you on the air, and you can ask your question. We'll have a discussion, and I'll try to give you the solutions that you need for success. That's my motive here. So good afternoon again on this beautiful spring day. And instead of listening to me, you should be out in your yard creating a beautiful landscape, but I thank you for tuning in anyway. So yeah, you can take a break and, you know, just relax for an hour or so and go from there. But I believe our days are going to continue for a while, at least in a spring-like manner. But after a few warm, sunny days, I'll be wanting a rainy day or two just to kind of catch up to where we should be. But the yard chores are waiting to get done, so take advantage of this good weather. You know, if you haven't, maybe you could mow your lawn. I don't know. It's a little early. My lawn hasn't even started to, well, it's kind of green, but it's still very short. But I don't fertilize. I live on a ranch, and takes me about an hour to mow it on my riding mower, and when it finally gets growing, it grows fairly quickly, and doing about once a week for till about through the end of June, and then it's about once every 2 weeks, and then in August it's once a month. it's one of those natural lawns that no irrigation, no fertilizer, and it stays green for like half the year, like from October to June 1st, that's about it. But that's okay. I don't want to have to go through the expense of putting in a sprinkler system and fertilizing it and doing all the stuff that I did for all my clients over all the years that I was in business. So it's a real different motive that I have. But I believe our days are going to continue in a spring-like manner. But after a few warm, sunny days, you know, I'll be wanting a rainy day or two. I don't like to go too long without some rain. And the yard chores are waiting to get done. So take advantage of this good weather. I mean, just go out there and just, even if you don't do anything, you just get a lawn chair and sit there and put your face up toward the sun and relax and just kind of catch a few Z's if you can. And don't worry about the rest of it. It'll happen. But there are some projects that can be done now, and you can get a head start on making your yard a showplace for summer. And that's what you want. Here's a kind of a short list to get you started. And it's just, you know, clean up in general, right? Start to prune all the plants that need it. I mean, if you haven't been pruning on a regular basis and you got some stuff that's growing out of bounds and too high, too far out from the house or too far out from the fence, or you can't get in your front door because the branches are hitting you every time you try to get in, those are the guys that need to be pruned. You're not going to hurt them. You're just giving them a haircut, and you'll really help the plant. Not only will your yard look nicer, but for a few hours, not every, you know, you can do it every day for about two or three days, depending on the size of your yard. But, don't hesitate. Get out there. You're not going to hurt them. And you don't have to wait till total dormancy when you're doing light pruning. You can do light pruning 365 days out of the year if that's what you deal, if that's what you like. But... excuse me, here's a short list to get you started for, okay? Clean up in general. Start to prune all the plants that need it. And you know, that's the ones that are kind of out of whack and growing out in the driveway or, you know, trying to climb in the front window or something like that. Give them a good cleanup. Take all the old leaves off and any dead branches. Make sure you get all the dead branches out because they're not going to sprout any leaves. And then just kind of uniformly, you can round it off, you can square it off, you can give it a bonsai look if you want, or a Japanese garden type of look if you like. It'll look good, and if you stick to a yearly pruning schedule, your landscape is always attractive and it's always healthy. It's more healthy being pruned than not being pruned. And anything that needs spraying, you can do that now while the weather permits. And if you are spraying weeds, add a sticker to your mix that makes sure if it does rain, that spray you put on there is going to stick to the weeds or the plants that you're trying to get rid of or make better. So, and you can clean any planting beds now. It's, you know, 68 degrees or something out there, I think. And you know, you can prepare them for flowers or new shrubs. You know, just kind of get an idea how you want to spruce up the place. And this is a good time to fertilize the shrubs, the trees, and the lawns. And you just want to be careful when you're doing it that you don't overdo it, because you can always add more fertilizer later on than if you try to do it all in one fell swoop. Oftentimes that turns out to be kind of a negative thing because you made a mistake and put a little bit too much on those rhododendrons or the azaleas or the little flowers that you're wanting to plant along the bed in the house. So just go out there and get it done. And then again, probably in about a month and a half, you want to do it once more. And you're probably pretty good until the fall then, especially on the lawn. The lawn, if you want a green lawn, you have to feed it because it grows fast. You're cutting it. It grows. You're cutting it. And you're kind of wearing it out almost. So that's why it has to have more frequent fertilization than shrubs and trees. So that's something to kind of keep in mind when you're doing this. But don't over fertilize it. And maybe, like I said, half strength now and then follow up in maybe a month or 6 weeks and give it another application. And always use a granular shrub or lawn fertilizer. Just go light and you'll maximize your plant health and growth. if you stick to a regular schedule. And don't think that you're having a good deal when you buy something that you've never heard of. It says lawn food or something on it, but it's like $2.95 for a sack, and the other ones are $5.95 for a sack or whatever. And the more expensive ones have more oomph to them. They have more trace elements, and they're like it's a full meal deal that way. It's not just like a pasture food. A pasture, you know, some people buy big bags of Triple 16 or something like that and think that's going to do the job. Well, it'll do a job. It might burn it. It might burn, you know, any shrubs you're using, have planted around, or your lawn, because you got to watch yourself very carefully when you're applying this stuff. It's, like I say, it's better to go light, and, like in another month, you can always add a little bit more. And also, this is a good time to add mulch to the beds that need it. If you have plants that are in beds with bark mulch on it, over the winter, you know, the bark mulch settles and it kind of fades with the weather. So you want to spruce it up and make it look really nice. Add another couple inches of mulch, and the mulch eventually breaks down and it feeds the plant materials, and it always looks good that way. And it keeps the weed population at bay to a certain extent. For some reason, Douglas County really grows some great weeds, and you gotta be on top of it to keep all of them down.
Now you're talking about the ones that have always been legal.
Yeah, well, yeah. You don't smoke the ones you're pulling out of your yard. Okay.
Little helpful tip.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep yourself on the right side of life. But, you know, a good depth of mulch is going to cut down on the watering as well. And as the days get warmer and drier, that's to the plant's benefit. And it also helps, like I say, keep those weeds to a minimum, not totally disappear them, but to a minimum. And yard work is much easier if you have a regular yard maintenance schedule. In other words, you go out there every 9 days or 10 days and you do a little bit here and a little bit there, and you just stay with that process until fall. And if you want a nice yard, I mean, the yard I had in my first house was the worst yard on the whole street when we moved in and bought it back in the 60s. And it took me, I think, 2 years to really clean it up. And then another year spent in re-landscaping so that it would look really nice. And I went from the worst yard on the street to the nicest yard on the street. And that's when my neighbors paid attention to me and my business. So that was cool. I thought you were pressing buttons. I thought we had a call.
Well, actually, I'll press one right here.
Okay. We'll be back.
All right. 419, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 422, the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in 2025, please look at your temperature gauge. What do you see?
I don't have a temperature gauge.
Right there.
I can't see it from here.
How do you cannot see that from here?
I'm clear across the room, for crying out loud, and it's in small print.
It's a
and you're 2 feet away.
70. It's 70 degrees.
It was 71 on Happy Valley Road when I was driving.
Well, yeah, but this is the official reporting side of the National Weather Service.
Yeah, well, that's a first for them to be right or anything.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I'm talking about cleaning up your yard, getting ready for spring. So if you
that illustrates your point.
Oh, gosh.
It's 70.
Okay, it's 70. I'm not going to argue with him. He's such a, I'm not going to say.
Yeah. Careful. It's
live radio.
That's right. We have rules.
Oh, geez. We have some shrubs. If you have some shrubs that look bad.
Don't make me hit the beep button. button.
Or unhealthy. You might want to pull them out. If you scratch the bark, there's no green under there. They've pretty much had it. And so pull them out and make room and go get some new ones. Right now, new plants are arriving at nurseries and grocery stores or anything like that. And so go shopping for some new plants and spruce up your yard. Just be real careful when you plant, and don't overwater. Don't give them any big shot of fertilizer. Just let them set for a while. And with, usually within a month, 3 weeks to 4 weeks, you'll start seeing new growth come on them. And if you love to work in your yard, get an early start, like I say, by planting now. Don't wait until the hot weather comes to Douglas County, because when it does come, you just don't want to go out there in that yard, and the plants don't want to be disturbed. They're just kind of getting around. So if you're wanting a low-maintenance landscape, here are a few plants to consider for growing, for general ground covers.
Well, hold that list right now, because we're going to go to the phone, and somebody's got a question or comment from Mike Winters. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, somebody said that blueberries like it more acidic, and I have a bunch of sequoias, and they always have lots and lots of needles under them, and yeah. I wondered if I could just take a pitchfork and put some of that around my blueberry plants, if that would be okay.
How many blueberry plants you got?
Oh, 40.
40? Well, do an experiment. Do it to 10 of them and see if that makes any difference. And if it does, hey, then go ahead and do the rest. But if you do 10 of them and those 10 look kind of peaked, or the leaves are yellowing up, or they're droopy or whatever, and they just don't look as good as your other ones that you haven't put the stuff around, you know you got the answer. And that's the best way to do it.
Is there any other kind of mulch you would recommend?
Well, bark mulch is great. From Douglas County Lumber or whoever, one of the bark mulch companies, something around here. It's old, it's aged, and it's a great compost material. And when it breaks down into the root systems over time, and just adds to the overall health of the plant.
Okay. Well, I can give it a try.
Yeah, give it a try. Just do portions so you can see, is there a difference between what I did here and what I didn't do here? And you got your answer.
Okay, thank you.
Yay, thank you for the call.
All right, and you can call 673-4464 right now as well.
Yeah, and get on the air, ask your question, and I'll give you the best answer you ever had in your whole life. So is that. But if you love to work in your yard, like I say, get an early start by planting now. It's a good time to plant. Don't wait until that hot weather comes bursting into Douglas County, where it's 92 degrees at night and 106 during the afternoon. And you can still do it, but you have to be a lot more careful and cognizant of what you're doing. It's not an easy thing. And if you're wanting a low maintenance landscape, here are a few plants, like I said, to consider for ground covers. For instance, there are many varieties of, like, juniper to consider. They make a great ground cover. Some are very low growing, maybe to 6 to 12 inches, and not a lot of height or anything. They just hug the ground, and they're good for, like, steep banks. You got a steep bank and you want to cover it, and maybe it's just kind of rocky and all that. Go ahead and plant a few of those. Just try a few at first, and just as an experiment, and make sure if you're on a slope and it's a rocky slope, when you dig out the existing soil, get it away and put good soil in the planting hole on the bottom of the plant and on the sides of the plant, so that root system can energize itself very quickly and take hold. And once it's taken hold in the new potting mix that you put in, it will get into the regular soil, if you will, because it has the energy to do that. Usually, I've seen people dig a hole in some very poor soil, like clay or clay and rock, worst combination you could have, and barely have the hole large enough for the plant, and they stuff the plant in there, and then they stuff that other ugly soil back in there and tamp it in, and they wonder why their plant died. Well, you know, it just doesn't work that way. You have to be considerate of the plant root systems and you know what that plant does. It's a living thing, and you don't want to put it on edge so that it gives it up. All right, and if you're wanting, like I say, a low maintenance landscape plan, there's lots of plants to consider. For instance, for ground covers, there's many varieties of like juniper to consider. They lay flat. You know, there's some juniper that'll grow 4 feet tall and spread all over the place. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the blue carpet variety, which really hugs the ground. And there's a few others that just are very close to the ground, and they grow really well, and they love Douglas County. So in 2 or 3 years' time of growing, they've covered some pretty good ground, and they look good, and there's very, very little maintenance that you have to do. Like I say, just a little bit of fertilizing once in a while, and maybe some pruning, some very small pruning. You don't want to go whole hog and see how bad you can cut it, but they don't need, like I say, they don't need a lot of care, and they don't need a lot of water. And like junipers are hardy, and they'll grow in poor soil and hot sun, but you don't want to stretch them. But there's a lot of varieties that that hug the ground, like I say, and They're good for steep banks. If you have a bank and nothing else is growing on it, try some juniper. And and some can be planted for hedges, big, larger ones, or for a privacy screen, because they come in, you know, hug the ground, medium size where they're 2 or 3 feet tall, and then upright junipers, they can get 8, 10, 12 feet tall over time and give you a good privacy screen. And they range in color, like from deep green, they've got some light green, some that are gold, some that have a little bluish tint to them. There's just go shopping and look and see what's available. And you can go to the big box stores, and they'll have some out there. Payless used to have a lot of stuff out there, but they're no longer around. But, you know, some, whatever stores. Freddy's always has a whole bunch of stuff. We go to Freddy's a lot. And they'll have a pretty good variety of things out there. So shop around, see, you know, the prices are okay at the supermarkets. They don't mark them up like a nursery does, because a nursery has a larger overhead in some respects, and they have to be able to stay in business to continue to buy plants and stuff like that. But, you know, some of those juniper, like I say, they have different shades of green. Some are very light, some are very dark. And once established, there's very little maintenance to them. They're just a tough plant. And if you have some hard spots in your yard, the junipers will do a great job. They seem to just eat rocks or whatever you might have in there. And several mistakes that a mess are planting too many, too close, or over water, or naturally swampy ground. You want to avoid that. Junipers are a desert plant. They're a full sun plant, and after a year in the ground, they don't need any help from you. Just whatever rains in the winter time, you can prune them to shape any way you like. You can keep them really small. Start early, like don't let them get 10 years old and decide to prune them. I mean, you can, but if you want to shape them in a certain way or in a certain direction, you prune them when they're small. You're doing light pruning, and as you see how they shape up, then you just kind of prune them a little bit more and guide them in the direction that you want them to go, and they'll really do a good job for you. I planted in my career tens of thousands, I think, of them in different landscapes here in the county. And it's they're still alive and they're still growing. And unfortunately, some of the homeowners and some of the businesses lack a maintenance program by where they keep them pruned, keep them trimmed and fertilized. And after a while, they start to look a little shabby. They start, you know, kind of brown spots and things like that. Well, take the brown spots out. You don't know if it's just browning because somebody broke a branch or there's a bug in there. Go ahead and cut those things out and give them some more fertilizer and spruce them up a little bit, and they'll come back. They do good. They do good. I've had juniper, 20 and 30 years old that were still really, really growing nicely because it's the you don't wait 5 years before you start maintaining plants. You wait, you know, 5 weeks after you've planted them and make sure they're okay, and then you just keep your eye on them and pay attention to them, because you put them in your yard, you want your yard to be pretty, you want the plants to be pretty, because who knows, someday you might want to sell it and you have this beautiful landscape, you get a better higher price for a well landscaped yard. I got two daughters in the real estate world, and they confirm any of that I've said about that. So, they come, like I say, in all sizes, that hug the ground. Then tam junipers, they're a wild thing. I avoided tams unless somebody specifically wanted them in their yard. I avoided them simply because they just take over. they're like little animals and stuff. I was reading my Western Garden book. It's like a big encyclopedia of everything, every plant in the world almost. But I counted how many varieties of juniper were in there, and there are 78 varieties of juniper listed in the Western Garden book. So with the descriptions, the sizes, the growth habit, just remember, they love the sun, they love the heat. They'll grow in shade, but a whole lot slower than if they're out there in full sun. The best use I've seen was at a home on the banks of the North Umpqua River on the way to Whistler's Bend Park. I got a call one day and said, hey, we need some pruning done and blah, 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 and some light maintenance. And they were about halfway out to Whistler's Bend on that road. And we got around toward the back of the house, and it was a steep drop all the way to the river. And the bank and the river is probably 100 feet below the house, so they're not in flood problems. But the owners, a few years ago, prior to me being there, planted Gold Coast juniper down the slope. And they took off. They were beautiful. They were gorgeous. And then they built a little trail down between all the plants all the way to the river edge, because the husband of the family was a fisherman, a fanatic fisherman. And it's a beautiful spot. And they were beautiful. And the slope was very steep, very rocky. But those junipers softened the whole thing, and they were really good. And like I say, it was probably 100 feet from their back deck down to the edge of the river, and the trail was beautiful that they had built. I mean, they really fixed it up nicely, and it was a beautiful display of Gold Coast juniper. I was very impressed with it. So we'll be back, and we'll continue from here.
All right. 436 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
40 minutes away from the afternoon report at 5. It is still sunny. It is still 70 degrees, and he is still the commissioner of dirt.
And the phone number is still 673-4464. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call. We'll get you right on. Well, Kyle will. I won't. I'll just talk. But anyway, that bank I was talking about in the last section of the juniper, I did an estimate of how many juniper the gentleman had planted, and it was approximately 150 there. I couldn't tell exactly because, like I said, I didn't walk all the way down the trail. I stayed away from the trail. It was too steep. But anyway, what a show place it was. And not only a show place, but it holds the soil. It holds the holds everything from, you know, sliding down into the river, because where the slope started and their deck, there was probably only 20 feet away. And I don't know if they had a cave in, would the deck and the house go in? I don't think so, but they've been there for quite some time. And for very low maintenance, landscape junipers are your best bet. They're tough. I've told a story about me planting the Gold Coast juniper on the edge of my driveway, and I was shocked at how quickly they spread, and all that. And with them, I didn't put any great soil or sprinklers in. And you know, there's just think about the junipers. Like I said, there's 78 varieties, and so there are many colors, there's many sizes to choose from, and deer will nibble, but they won't eat and destroy a juniper down to nothing like they'll do a rose bush or something like that. So you're in good stead. Now, a lot of folks, they'll buy a tam juniper, and tams are dark green and not a lot of pizzazz, you know. But there's the lighter color ones, the light green ones that are kind of lacy, the Gold Coast that are gold and green in the same plant. They're very attractive, and they don't take over your yard like a tam juniper would. But you can be really creative with all the different colors, and they're, like I say, they're very different. And you can have hedges, you can have ground covers, and you can have tall juniper trees. There's so many varieties that you can do your whole yard in different types of junipers and have a complete landscape. And for shade or a privacy screen, they'll work really well, the tree types. And the best part with junipers is that they are tough, very, very tough. The only way you can kill them is by watering them every day. And I've warned people about that for the last 20 years on this show. Overwater kills more plants than anything else in Douglas County, or other counties too. I would say the farther north you get, the more rain they get. So drainage is very, very important. And for instance, in a Japanese garden, juniper are popular in combination with like dwarf mugo pine and Japanese maples. They fit. That's the motif that they fit in like a Japanese garden. Not overplanted. A lot of space in between with boulders and those kinds of things. Maybe an old log that gnarled and white and bleached out from being in the river for 20 years, something like that. But you can do a lot of good things if you think about it and get creative and look at some books. There are landscaping books on the market. Open them up. Look at the. You don't have to buy it, for crying out loud. You can just look at the color photos and get ideas from that and take those ideas home with you and insert your own thoughts and see what you come up with. But there are some other tough plants that are going to do well in a low-maintenance landscape. Like I said, dwarf mugo pine. It's a spreader rather than... It'll grow tall. It'll grow 6-7 feet if you never prune it. But if you keep it pruned and keep it down to, say, about 2 to 3 feet, they look great and they spread out. And, you know, dwarf mugo pine is the one I used a lot in my landscape projects over the years. It's like very dwarf and very deep green in color, and it's a slow grower, so nothing seems to hurt them except too much water. And I know you're tired of me saying that, but that's the killer here. And they are a slow grower, and they're easy to care for. A little fertilizer, a little water, like in June, July, and August. A deep green color, and they can be a hedge. You can prune them into a hedge eventually, a low hedge that that has a real natural look to it. You can keep them pruned easily by pinching the new candles that come back in the spring. You'll see on an evergreen, especially like these dwarf hugel pine I'm talking about, the new growth comes up and there's a candle, and it might grow 5 or 6 inches, and then the needles open up from the candle. Well, an easy way to prune is when the candles form, and right before they open up with the needles, you can take your fingers and just pinch them off at whatever. You don't even have to pinch them. They're soft. You can just kind of clip them off with your fingers, and you only want an inch of growth that year. That's all that's going to grow. Or you can, you know, let them go 3 inches and pinch them at whatever height you want, or let them go. But eventually, if you don't prune them, they get kind of leggy at the bottom. But you can also be decorative in your pruning so that they look very oriental, like they belong in a Japanese garden or in a Chinese garden. And don't be afraid to prune. Don't be afraid to open it up. And sometimes they have way too many branches in the middle, and the branches in the middle have all those brown needles I was talking about. So you go ahead and prune them out. Let the air circulate and flow through the plant. It keeps any virus or disease or anything like that to a minimum. And the bugs really don't have a place to hide a lot. And so consequently, you don't have a whole lot of problems with them. But they're a tough plant no matter what you do. I've seen some that weren't pruned for years and years and years, and they look kind of scraggly and shaggy, but a good pruning job, you could fix them up and make them look very very different. People will go, wow, what's that, as they drove by or as they walk by. They say, that's an interesting plant. I wonder what that is. But if you prune them and pinch them back, the new candles are there. They'll come back in the next spring. And if you don't pinch the candles back, they're going to grow like 6 to 8 inches. And then the pine needles unfold from the candle. And then you got all these new brand new pine needles. You can prune it then too. But it's you just have to take an interest in. You can't ignore the yard. Once you plant this stuff, you want it to be beautiful long term. So you got to pay attention. And when you see things that, oh, I wonder what's going on, either call somebody, call me for a consultation, or call a landscaper to come in and take care of the problem. Say, hey, I don't like this, I don't like that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And then listen to what that landscaper has to say, and he'll give you some ideas, and you can approve or disapprove. So, but a lot of people think that Japanese maples are a tree that needs special care, and that they're a weak tree. Well, that's the opposite of what they really are. They are tough. And they come in many sizes, shapes, and colors. And some of them are dwarf that never get over 2.5 to 3 feet. Some will grow to 20 feet or even more. Depends on the variety. There are just so many varieties. There's hundreds of varieties of Japanese maples. And the dwarf, like I said, the dwarf variety is 2 feet tall and maybe 2 feet wide. And they're a pretty little tree. But if you plant them in a pot, you can keep them as small as you like. I've got a lot of bonsai that I do. It's my hobby. And I've got Japanese maples in pots that are my bonsai specimens. And I'm pretty radical on the pruning of them because I want to keep them ugly. I want to keep them old looking. I want to keep them, wow, what's wrong with that tree? When somebody comes, I says, nothing's wrong with that tree. It's perfect. It's exactly how I wanted it. So
let's go to the phones right now. You've got a comment or question for Mike Winters.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been trying for about a half hour to get through. It keeps staying a message that nobody's there.
Well,
I want to know
it's not my
the
problem.
Name of that tree book that you have that lists over 7,000 trees.
It's called the Western Guidebook.
The Western Guidebook.
The Western Garden Book. Western Garden Book. And it's a very thick, big book. It's got more information than you can read in 2 years.
Well, I've got my Botanica, but I wanted something that was for here, Western.
And it has
put that out.
And it has a lot of illustrations. It has just so many suggestions. And like I said, there's thousands of plants in that. And you just look them up. And they're all alphabetical. And you just say, well, I want to look up at mucopine. So you look under M and they'll...
Oh,
it's easy.
I want to know which are the two best pawpaws to plant.
Which are the two best what?
Pawpaws, you know, the Hoosier bananas.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't have any of those?
No.
Oh, well, how about, oh, dear me. Oh, yeah, because you want all of these things, so you can have them, because you can't get them here. And the sassafras, what's the best time to plant it? I know that it does not want to be transplanted. It resents it to the point of dying before your eyes.
Well, I've seen a few of those, but
yeah. So but, that would be in that book, and with some handy dandy
yes,
hints.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because I wanted to hurry up and get big. Have you heard of these trees? They pop up on the iPad, and they're cherry trees, and they look like they're in pots. And, of course, they're going to show you the epitome of them, where it's just up and down cherries on every branch and very few leaves. But I haven't been able to get information on what they're called or how to order them.
Well,
has that popped up on your computer or your iPad?
Nope.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm at a blank. I don't know.
Something like that. Oh, well, all righty. I mean, you've just been immeasurably helpful. Well, I feel bad, you know, that people aren't calling, but I think it's because you can't get through. It just says you're not there.
Well, I haven't left this chair for 55 minutes.
Oh, I tried for a half hour. I just kept on. I was not going to be denied my winter's moment.
Well, thank you. So, just remember, 673-4464.
Yes, I hope other people keep on, because you've got all this knowledge. And, I kind of want to glean it from you.
That's okay. That's why I'm here every Thursday.
Well, I look forward to you every week, Mike.
Well, good. Thank you.
I missed you horrible. When you were gone, it was just awful. So now you're back. And I want people to call in to ask you things, because there's no stupid questions. It just means you don't know.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for calling 453. Heading to the break at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Final segment, a short one with Mike Witters as we enjoy 68 degrees now in the Umpqua Valley.
Oh, I'm sweating. This last section I'm not going to be able to complete, but a lot of people think that Japanese maples are a tree that needs like special care, and that they're a weak tree and you have to give them a lot of tender loving, you know, this and that, but the opposite of that is what they really are. They're tough. They come in many sizes, shapes, and colors. Their leaves can be green with white streaks through it, or deep red or orange. I mean, there are so many varieties of them. And there are some dwarf varieties that only get 2 feet tall and wide. I mean, after 20 years, that's all they grew, is up to 2 feet. They're a real true dwarf. And if you plant them in a pot, you can keep them as small as you like. And what I've done over the years, I have a bonsai collection, and I've taken the ugliest twisted Japanese maple seedlings and put them in my pots, and now they're a gorgeous bonsai plant. And it's just, like I say, my hobby, and it's fun. In my bonsai collection, I have some Japanese maples that are less than a foot tall. And they're over 10 years old in that small pot, and because in the small pot keeps the roots small too, so they don't grow a whole lot. but I prune to shape and stay small, so I know that they're doing well in those small pots. I've got other bonsai plants. I've got some different firs and dwarf pines and things like that, but the vast majority of my bonsai are Japanese maples. And some I planted along my deck and creek are more natural, and they're about 8 to 10 feet tall. You know, you just let them go. They don't need any care at all. The first, like I said, a few months, I gave them some water out of the creek, and that was about it. And after that, I left them alone. And they're just beautiful. And they give me a lot of color in the spring, summer, and the fall. And they get, you know, 10, 15 feet, 12 feet, you know, right in there. It just depends. And the deer seems to ignore them, which I'm surprised. But pruning, if you have to, don't be afraid to prune. It's not going to hurt or kill the plant. And if it's done correctly at the right time of year, it's just that simple. You don't want to butcher it. You just want to do it lightly. Learn how to do it. Get a book on pruning, and it'll give you a lot of information. The only other way is to watch a demonstration of that, like when they down here at the courthouse, when they have the farmers and foresters and garden people in there for a seminar. Go in, sit down, and see what they do. See, I've been a speaker at that a couple of times over the years, and brought plants in, and had a seminar on a particular plant, and planted them, and did this, and explained that, and then open it up to questions. And, you know, there's a lot of sharp people in there. They're tuned into gardens, they're tuned into living things, and a lot of knowledge. And you can, and they'll give it to you for free. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg. So anyway, it's probably, we're shot on time right now, aren't we? Or we got some time? No, that's it.
That's it.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right, we'll have the podcast up in a moment at 541radio.com. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Commissioner Dirt every Wednesday afternoon at 4. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.